Yo, what's up?
Yeah, let me have a red hot with some mustard and two napkins. Oh, and let me have the Two Guys Talking 24 podcast, though.
What?
I don't know. It's part of that Two Guys Talking podcast network, something.
Huh?
I don't remember.
Why don't you take a walk before I brain you?
Oh, all I want is a hot dog and a podcast.
Go on, take a hike. Come on, I got people to feed.
I want some red hot dog podcast. Jeez. Cut me down to size. Telling dirty lies.
Two Guys Talking is an internet radio show providing you with entertainment, a sharing of viewpoints, and fun. Join us as we venture into the world of entertainment and discuss a variety of topics, from television shows, DVDs, feature films, and more. This week, Two Guys Talking.
Pirates of the Caribbean 3, at World's End.
Johnny Depp, pirate ships everywhere. A whirlpool opens up and gobbles the Two Guys Talking podcast.
Arr, matey, arr.
It's time for the Two Guys Talking podcast review of The Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End. I'm Mike Wilkerson, one of your hosts.
And I am Brian Sumatros, your other host.
Everybody, thanks for joining us. We're just completing World's End 24 season here, and we're reviewing a bunch of the blockbuster films coming up this year inside of the feature film audience.
Again, one of the special times of the year when all the big blockbuster movies
Huge.
Are coming out.
I yeah, mean, and we've got Pirates, this year in particular, yeah.
Spider-Man 3,
yeah, year
July
of the
4th.
Sequels.
We've
yeah,
got
yeah.
the big Transformers movie
Transformers,
coming out, which looks awesome,
yeah.
doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And the just for everyone, the plan is to get the review of the DVD of the movie, the Transformers the movie, in. And then also have that review for Transformers in as well. It should be a really, really good time.
Yeah, and just kind of a side note, the trailers for Transformers on the Pirates
are outstanding.
Beginning of the Pirates yeah. movie was really cool. It was
really.
Almost nothing but the Transformers transforming.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty cool to see all the effects and everything. And
yeah.
I mean, it looks like a legitimate movie.
Yeah.
You know?
It looks like they brought the world of real story, real effects, and real storytelling, which is really missing and is a telltale sign of what's going on this summer, I think.
Blockbuster Pirates movie again.
Huge.
This past
huge.
Weekend.
Another one, yeah.
The hype for the movie this weekend. What do you think it compared to last year? I mean, last year it seemed pretty big as far as the hype, and I don't know necessarily this year.
This one seemed matter of course, and I can't figure out whether it's because it's buried inside of other, again, sequels for movies previous to it. It definitely doesn't seem nearly as hyped up as last year.
Last year at this time, we had Pirates going up against Superman Returns.
Superman Returns, right.
And Mike and I did both the reviews on that. So
yeah.
If you wanted to check those out, twoguystalking.com
mm-hmm.
and scroll down to the bottom and you guys will see the reviews for both Pirates of the Caribbean and Superman Returns.
Yeah.
This year again, Pirates is going up against Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
Was it Shrek 3 was out mm-hmm. last week, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. And it's really funny. Our previous Pirates review for A Dead Man's Chest is one of the little ghost downloads that we have. We have no idea where people are really latching onto it and downloading it, but it is one of the most downloaded podcasts we have. So be sure that you check that out at our website.
I've got to think that maybe somebody has posted it somewhere.
Yeah,
and
on a movie review site or something. Because, I mean, it's significant. If it was just, yeah, onesie, twosies, it's not, though. It's huge.
Yeah,
it's a big download.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I went back, and we were looking at the spreadsheets as far as the numbers from our server.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And we were like, wow, look
yeah.
at the numbers on Pirates.
Yeah.
Which is,
and
it
this
almost
is
doubled
after,
what
Yeah,
what
this
the
is
Superman
a year
did.
Later. Yeah. yeah. In fact, it's not quite a year, but it's almost a year. It'll be a year in July that we did that review.
To no one's surprise, Pirates sets box office records across the globe.
Yeah, yeah, Brian, let's get straight to the official Two Guys Talking review of the Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End.
Two Guys Talking Pirates 3 review.
The hype. The hype for this movie, as we just briefly discussed, wasn't nearly as high as what was available for A Dead Man's Chest, I don't think. And I don't know if it's because it was returning after a series of years before this film, or if it was just, again, buried in what was the rest of moviedom this summer.
Well, I know that, and it almost appeared that there was so much more commercial-type stuff for Pirates this time around.
Yeah.
As yeah. you know, I've seen a lot of the Walmart commercials, you know, where the family's got the push cart and they're going across the boat and all the pirates are fighting.
Yeah.
And then the kid drops like one of the, you know, Jack toys or something. He picks it up, puts it back into the Walmart cart and
yeah.
everything.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of commercials like that.
Have you? I've seen a lot of the McDonald's stuff. I've also seen where, like, you just walk into a store and there's just toys galore. Everything you can imagine. Toothbrushes, hats, little outfits for both boy and girl pirates. It's funny, my father was talking about that because pirates aren't, you know, moral folk. they were really, really bad people, and that they're now marketing it almost specifically and directly at children. Wow, you know, it's taking the paradigm of pirates and turning it on its world's end.
One of the things I wanted to talk about, though, also with the Pirates Review today, is the audience that they're trying to pull exactly. I mean, I think Pirates does a really good job with the Pirates franchise in pulling enough interest from not only children, but adults and people like you and I who, you know, we're into graphic novels, comic books, you know, we're into the whole Star Wars type stuff. Well,
and swashbuckling movies, honestly. Yeah. If there's a swashbuckling movie, I'm probably going to go see it.
But I think in general, and especially with the opening of, you know, Dead Man's Chest last year and then At World's End this year, when you watch the movie, and this is something that I like when I'm watching a movie, is to be entertained, not only having some lighthearted moments, which Pirates has a ton of, but also some really dark moments, some really serious dark moments.
Yeah.
And I think they do a really good job at balancing that out as a whole within the Pirates franchise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think previous to this movie, I think they've done a wonderful job.
Well, and I think in this movie, too, and there's some examples we'll get into as far as the positives and negatives of the show itself.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just one of those things, you're sitting there, but at the beginning of this movie here, there's a scene where, you know, they set up something that's very dark, not very lighthearted at all.
Ultra dark,
And I enjoy that because I know that that's a kind of a combination of what makes a good movie for myself.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. The theaters that we saw it in this time, we went to what is called the Galaxy Theater here. It's out in Chesterfield, about 20 minutes away from our house. All digital. It was an all-digital set of screens. I saw it on one of the larger ones. It held 375 people, so it was a huge screen.
And who'd you see that with?
Me.
Oh, just by yourself? Okay.
Yeah, my family went with me to the theater, but my daughter and wife went and saw Shrek 3, and then my parents went to see Spider-Man 3, so...
And see, that's one of the things that I thought was going to be tough for Pirates to break all these records because of
Spider-Man in the middle of the other ones
and Shrek 3, especially being around.
Well, and that's why the hype is so incredibly critical for a movie like Pirates and opening after something as huge as and what continues to be a juggernaut as Spider-Man 3. By the way, don't forget to go and download our Spider-Man 3 review available at twoguystalking.com. Ryan Parker and I from the Comic Knot, we made that review as well.
I'm kind of curious to see what goes on behind the scenes back, you know, where the big guys, the producers and stuff, make all the money on deciding what weekend to open up with.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Because, you know, how they jockey that, I'm certain it's just like a horse race.
Because
that's
interesting. You know, which movie was more afraid of the other ones? Was Spider-Man 3 more afraid of Pirates coming out or vice versa? Or were they both kind of wondering, you know, what Shrek 3 was going to do?
I don't know. I don't know.
I think all three of those movies, they pull the exact audience.
Yeah.
Don't you think? I mean, even the people going to see Shrek, it's not just kids.
Right.
I mean, it's the parents taking the kids, but a lot of the parents and older people enjoy Shrek as well.
Yeah. And that 1-2-3 punch of those opening up within 3 weeks of each other is really strange. I often look at the numbers that come through, and it really is amazing what happens with a 1-2-3 punch like that.
Yeah. Well, as far as where I saw it at, my family and I went down to Cape Girardeau, Missouri, which is in southeast Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite as big as St. Louis up here, but they've got two...
Home of the meth labs. I read in the newspaper recently. That's nice.
They
83
people
arrested something?
83 people arrested down in Cape Girardeau. I'm very proud of my hometown.
I'll bet you are.
But they've actually got two movie theaters in town. One's in actually a really nice Werenberg's that they just built probably within the last, I would say, 5-7 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other one is the movie theater that's been in town for forever, and it's actually been purchased by
meth dealers, probably.
Is it Carasotes, how you say that?
I'm not sure.
However you say that. And I think they're a national movie company or whatever, but it's one of those where there's no stadium seating. There's no
is it all
digital
old school
theater.
Then?
It's not old school to where it's quaint, where you kind of like going and watching a romantic movie or something with your wife or something.
Yeah.
It's old, like just crappy.
Because it's old. Okay. Yeah.
And the thing, and I'm glad we're talking about this now, is what's always bothered me is when we went to Cape to watch a movie, and that's the time my wife and I get a chance to go out and watch. We got both grandparents down there watching the kids. And so my wife and I, we go on a movie binge, and they cannot run the same movies in town.
Really?
Both theaters.
Oh, I see.
Because
what you
they're
mean.
Within
yeah.
they're within 5 mile radius of each other, and there's only so much of a population down there.
Okay.
And so every
so they're
time,
playing things like My Left Foot.
Well, here's the thing though.
The Indian.
Here's the thing. We were wanting to watch Pirates and we were wanting to watch Spider-Man when we went home this weekend.
Yeah.
Well, Pirates, luckily for us, was at the Werenberg, the nice new theater.
Yeah.
Spider-Man was at the crappy theater. And it always bothered me. I didn't know how they determined who got what. And
that's really interesting.
I actually pulled aside one of the managers at the Werenberg, and I said, hey, what's the deal with how you guys decide which theater gets what?
Yeah.
And he kind of laughed. And I said, you know, because it kind of ruins it for me as a moviegoer.
Totally.
When one of the blockbuster movies, i.e. Spider-Man 3, is being shown over at the crap theater.
Yeah.
And he says, well, what happens is the decision is made up in St. Louis in the head office.
Interesting.
Where the people that make the decision have to determine, they're given a package of movies.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to decide, okay, do we want Spider-Man 3 and insert some lame movie also?
My Left Foot.
Or do they want Pirates? And I think he said Ratatouille that was coming out, the new Disney.
Ratatouille, okay. Yeah.
And he said that their guys determined that the Pirates was a bigger movie. It was going to gross more or whatever. Mm-hmm. They wanted to take a chance on that package as opposed to the Spider-Man, so they chose that one.
Interesting.
Carasotto, who has the other theater, you know, they got to pick the other one, which was the Spider-Man package.
Yeah.
Well, then the thing was, I didn't understand why the producers of, let's say, Spider-Man would mm-hmm. allow Spider-Man 3 to be played
showcased
on a crappy
on the ultra crap
theater.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
My example was with Lucas, George Lucas. He will not let Star Wars be played on
X theater,
below
right,
standard
yeah.
theaters. They
right.
have to be played on something that's
going to give at least
digital
the,
sound
the baseline.
Or,
yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, well, because Carasotto is actually a bigger company than Werenberg nationally,
wow.
that they have some pull. So if Carasotto say, well, if you're not going to help us in the Cape Girardeau market, we're not going to show your movie, Spider-Man 3 or Pirates. We're not going to show it in our Chicago market.
Interesting.
So it was a great talk that I had with the guy. And it's actually one of those things that maybe we should go out to the Galaxy Theater up here in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And find out the behind-the-scenes actions of movie theaters.
I would like
and the
that
competition.
A lot. I would like that a lot. And let's ask the listeners, too, if you'd like us to do something like that, go out to one of the big mega googoplexes and ask them more questions about how the lists get run, how they pick those lists. Let us know by sending email to info@twoguystalking.com. That's number 2guystalking.com.
So basically, the theater that we saw it at the Werenbergs, it was, I would say, 75% full. They probably had a capacity in that room about 200 people.
Yeah.
And I would say, and they showed it every 30 minutes.
Okay.
So it wasn't like, it wasn't packed, and it wasn't like we did before where we would buy our tickets and then have to get there an hour and a half early to stand in line. Basically,
yeah,
we
know,
bought
I
our
really,
tickets and
I,
we went right in.
I really believe those days are gone. I give it to you that I did stand in line, quote unquote, for the most recent Star Wars film, mm-hmm. but it's because I went to the midnight show.
Right,
if I'd
right.
If I'd have went to the theater the next day to get tickets and stand in line, there would be no line. I really do believe that those days are really, I really do believe that we've seen the end of a paradigm for something like that.
That's possible. I forget what movie it was. It was about 3 or 4 months ago that we went, and we actually stood in line over an hour to go in and see. And if it comes to me in my head here as we're given,
was it a movie recently?
It was a movie recently,
really?
In the last 3 months, where we actually we got there about an hour early and we were at the back of the line to get into it.
Wow.
So it was kind of weird, but anyways, it was about 75% full, and I would say as far as people being excited about it, it was just kind of like a regular movie for most people.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't.
We went the day after Memorial Day. There were 30 people inside of a theater that held 375.
Really?
So, I mean, it was nice, but man, it was really, really cold. And that also fosters my sleep pattern because we have it like an ice box inside of our house. So it was tough. It was tough to stay alert inside this movie.
So, I mean, seeing something like that, you would think there's no way these guys are going to break this box office
record. That's
what
I don't understand. It's the day after Memorial Day. So they just rake in the cash that they get and then, you know, just sit on it. I don't understand that at all.
Two Guys Talking Pirates 3 Review.
The money. Oh, the money. The summertime is always a time for money, and you have to believe that there are people that sit in chairs and do nothing but look at the collection and the cash registers for all of these films and guess whether or not that means there's either going to be another one or more movies like the ones that have come out in just the last 3 weeks.
What's amazing, I'm looking at the numbers here on countingdown.com.
Yeah.
And it says Pirates 3 gets a 6-day opening of 404 million worldwide, which beats
million.
The previous
wow.
Leader, which was Spider-Man 3 a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I think they say Spider-Man 3 did about 382 million.
Yeah.
In the same thing. So, I mean, 404 million.
Yeah.
Well, it's just amazing.
Yeah. And I definitely see that there is a currently a larger audience, and I think there's way more marketing for something like Pirates when you compare it to something like Spider-Man, although Spider-Man is also, in fact, that opened internationally. That didn't open domestically. That opened internationally first and then came here.
How do you feel about that? Movies are made, you know, I mean, the producers, all those guys are all.
I don't mind. I don't mind. It all feeds into the same giant ass pot. So I don't have a problem with that. Yeah. I don't have a problem with that because they did have a premiere / opening here in the States as well. It just wasn't first this time.
Yeah, and I wonder how they make that decision too.
I don't know.
If there's any listeners out there that would know how they make the decision as far as, you know, they're going to open Spider-Man 3 in Japan or they're going to open Pirates in, you know,
China, whatever. Right. Yeah. Let us know. Send an email to info@twoguystalking.com. That's the number 2guystalking.com. The other thing I think of too is you think of the budget of a movie. Okay. Let's say it costs, I think it was $250 million for Spider-Man. If it makes, okay, so the opening for Spider-Man was $382 million. If you figure what, there's 12, 13 million inside of what is, I think, the star's salary. He gets $12 million for doing the movie.
Tobey Maguire?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then $250 million to make the movie. So that means that they've made that much over and above what it cost to make the movie. That, to me, instantly signals that there's going to be another one. Why on earth would you make that giant ass load of cash and not want to do it again?
Oh, and I don't think there's any question that there's going to be more sequels for both Spider-Man and Pirates.
Yeah.
Especially the way that the ending of the movies
didn't conclude anything.
Right.
Really.
And I can't say much about Spider-Man because I still have yet to see Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
I'm waiting to get to the theater on that. But from what
it doesn't suck.
From what I was told, though, the Spider-Man 3 ended it to where obviously there's going to be another movie.
Easily.
Pirates did the same thing.
Whether or not they continue with the same cast and the crew, which I do believe they should. If you're going to make this many that succeed this well, you may as well continue that tradition and not break tradition.
But what happens if one of the stars decides that they either want a lot more money or they want to walk?
You can always kill a stunt double.
Well, let's say as far as, you know, we're talking Pirates here. Well, let's say if Orlando Bloom decides he doesn't want to come back or Keira Knightley doesn't want to come back. Can you still make Pirates without those two guys?
Yes. I think at this point you can make it without either of those two. If you lose Jack Sparrow, you're done. You are done with the Pirates franchise.
And just to touch on domestically, the Pirates of the Caribbean for, I believe, the 4 days grossed about $139 million. And as of today, I think they said it's boosted up to about $153 once all the numbers actually came in.
That's
of May 30th.
And that's amazing. That really is amazing that it can just, you know, again, corn combine of cash, totally.
Two Guys Talking Pirates 3 review.
The good. I have to say there were a lot of really, really good things about this movie. The first of which is carryover. One of the things that people will bitch about in the last two Matrix movies is that it wasn't very good. And I don't disagree with that. Of the things that could have happened inside those movies, it was okay. What this movie does that the last two Matrix movies were able to also accomplish is carryover from one feature film to another. The carryover handshake inside of the last two Matrix films was outstanding. Both of the movies kind of sucked. This one, the carryover, is outstanding. You begin, it's not right at the end of Pirates 2, but it's a little bit further into where the story continues, but the handshake there is perfect progression. It worked really well for me. I was back into the realm of Pirates of the Caribbean.
And I'm with you mostly on what you just said there. There's a little diversion that I've got as far as the carryover, which we'll get into one of my negative points about the movie. But I do agree. I think what helps out is that Pirates 2 and Pirates 3 were both filmed at the same time.
Yeah.
So I think that's what lent to good carryover between the two movies.
Any movie that decides to have what are basically consecutive sequels doing that, I think, is just such a positive, not only because you free up actors for other films and projects, which is exactly why they do it, obviously, but it works. It works. I'm trying to imagine Lord of the Rings being made where they weren't all in seclusion inside of New Zealand for a period of 3 years, and I can't imagine that.
Well, just one of those things, if you took a long break or something, that it would take some time to get back into character, get back into, you know,
and get a crew that's familiar with working with all the people and the lighting and the rest of the crap. Yeah.
I will say that At World's End actually does a good job of trailing Dead Man's Chest from the last movie, so I thought that was good also.
Two Guys Talking Pirates 3 review.
The visual effects. Mike, I'm going to kind of lump this all in together.
Visual effects,
the sound quality, just basically everything that was pleasing towards the eye as far as watching Pirates. Again, I think they've done a masterful job. They did that in Pirates 1 and 2. It was one of the positive notes that we had the last time that we did this. And I really thought that the visual effects were very... I was kind of glued to watching what was going on the screen. One of the first ones that we see in the movie is the crab scene, where you had just basically Jack standing out there with his boat, and he's trying to pull it along, and he finds this rock or something, and he throws a rock, and the rock kind of transforms into this crab.
Yeah.
And then you see all these other crabs. And the really cool thing was, I'm sitting there, and not only was that visually kind of interesting for me to watch, but listen to the sound of like the crabs moving and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really neat to listen to. It was definitely one of those things why you want to go to a nice theater that has the digital audio, that has all of the things that you need to experience the whole thing.
Yeah, sound design is something that's almost always overlooked, and why, you know, when they rush through them at the Academy Awards, it's just such a travesty. I get they want to clip the show. They don't want people to be there for 4 hours. I get that. But what they do miss is little things like that, visual effects. All of those things are almost completely overlooked inside of what is even the Academy Awards, and it really needs to not happen, because imagine this movie with no effects. What would you have? You'd have a 15-minute movie.
Yeah, well, yeah, you wouldn't have a very good movie at all. But, you know, and going back to, you know, the carryover from the second movie, you know, the fish army guys, you know,
those
guys make a big return again. Uh-huh. And
along with a couple of other ones that I don't remember, and it's just, I'm certain that between the second and the third movies, the technology, again, has probably just leaped and bounded, and so you can provide.
Do you think they used different technology on this one here, or do you think they would have used the same? Because they filmed at the same time.
What I understand about the visual effects realm is that they will use the newest, hottest gadgets available, and the reason is because that's what allows you to charge more money.
No, I get
I'm certain that they use some of this, probably the same models and rendering devices and stuff like that, but software, no, it's probably changed quite a bit.
Yeah, and, you know, going back to a lot of the visuals, you know, the costumes and stuff, I think that the people that do that have done a bang-up job.
Yeah, very well done.
It really, when you're sitting there, you feel like you're totally consumed within what's going on the screen.
Total submersion,
And I give that a positive for the movie.
Yeah.
Two Guys Talking Pirates 3 Review.
The acting. In general, this movie had a lot of really great acting. You're already so familiar with the main three characters, and actually there's probably five or six characters that are, quote, main characters, but they all have the characters just down pat. I'm certain that Johnny Depp can launch into Jack Sparrow anytime that he needs to, because it's one of those classic characters. Again, Orlando Bloom, Keira Knightley, all of them just have such a lock and hold on all of those characters. I like the acting a lot. I thought it was solid. There were no missteps at all.
Well, again, I'm going to agree with partly of what you said there, and something else regarding the acting we'll get into, and again, one of my negatives for the movie. But I thought we see Chow Yun-Fat for the first time in this movie, and I thought he did an excellent job.
Yeah.
Keith Richards again coming in, and first time we see him as Jack's dad, and I thought, I mean, they are father and son. I mean, it was great, and I really enjoyed seeing Keith Richards, Chow Yun-Fat. I think the actor that does Lord Beckett, and I forget the actor's name.
Yeah,
I think he does a good job of being the bad guy. You know, kind of the royal snob.
And he's young enough that he really does look like he's just a spoiled brat son of a bitch that got the power and is now, you know, wreaking havoc with it.
That
you know?
He's not a seasoned type veteran.
Yes,
that, you know, he
absolutely.
Went through the officer's training, kind of like how Prince William or Prince Harry have gone through, you know,
where
they don't really get their hands dirty, but they get the lieutenant bars or something.
Right, they have the power to push other people.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I thought, again, I thought that the acting from the core group, other than a couple people, which we'll talk about later, did a fantastic job again in this movie.
Two Guys Talking Pirates 3 Review.
The opening scene.
Yeah, very evocative.
I got to tell you that I really enjoyed this opening scene, and I want to draw on your memory. Is this an opening scene to the first time where we don't see Jack getting out of something?
Yeah,
right?
There's no Houdini Jack Sparrow escape artist in
but
this.
But anyways, we see this long line of just ordinary, poor-type people, and they're lined up, and are they a pirate?
They're sympathizers. They're sympathizers. They're supporters
all
of the cause.
All race, colors, religions, whatever, and they're all lined up there, and they get marched up to the top, and they get hung. And then we see,
and it's four or five series of hangings.
It's brutal.
Yeah, it's hardcore stuff. Yeah,
and you finally see, you get to the point to where they bring up a young kid.
Yeah,
and he starts singing. Mm-hmm. Everybody else starts chanting the same thing. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, I like where this is going. It's very dark. This is something that you and I talked about at the beginning of this review.
Yeah,
in that it does a good job. Pirates, they do a good job at blending both very dark moments, very dark situations, with lighthearted, funny type stuff.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking, okay, I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, they're not going to hang the kid. Somehow the kid's going to survive, or, you know, Jack Sparrow's going to come with, or, you know.
And save or shoot the rope, and he's not going to hang.
Something's
going
to happen, he's not going to hang. But when he does hang, and I'm like, wow. And then it kind of cut to a black screen.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, this is going to be a really good movie. So I thought that the opening there was really good. Just it kind of set the tone for me of what I was hoping to expect for the rest of the movie.
I can see that.
Two Guys Talking Pirates 3 Review.
The Bad. Okay, we just mentioned the first scene with Hangings and liking it, and I think there's a dichotomy going on here with the pirate movies and franchise. The second movie, I think, was incredibly bright and cheery and fun, okay? The third movie, not so much. This opening scene is a great sample, and it speaks to a variety of things. The first thing it speaks to is what I think the tone of a pirate movie should be. They hung pirates back in the time that they're talking about pirates. And the people that sympathize with the pirates, they also hung them. In fact, a lot of people that weren't doing anything were just called sympathizers for pirates, and they hung them anyway. And so this first scene, I loved that it was very dark and that it was the right tone. The problem was that this is after my daughter and I have gone to McDonald's and Hardee's and whoever else has deals now and gotten the Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End hat and the Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, tub display and the bubble bath from Walmart and the Pop-Tarts from Walmart. And now we walk in and the first thing she gets to see is a series of four hangings ending with a child being hung. Wow. Thankfully, I didn't take her. It was just me at the movie. But this is, again, one of those movies where you look at all the commercials and you see nothing that is nearly as black as what is the beginning of this film.
Well, and you bring up a good point. And we go back. I enjoy the fact that they were able to balance both of them, being dark, being lighthearted and stuff. But you bring up a good point as far as with children, because they obviously market the hell out of this movie to children.
Yeah.
Buy all of the merchandise, all of the promotional stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, for a child to go, and I don't know, was it PG or?
I think it was PG-13.
Was it?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, I probably would not have taken my daughter to it anyway. And well, she went to go see Shrek 3 with her mom that same day.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is that the marketing has an almost straight arrow to children.
Right, right.
Period.
Well, and I understand it. Maybe perhaps that's a little confusing then for people wanting to take their kids to Pirates, because you think, well, it's a Disney movie, something kind of geared towards the kids.
Yeah.
And I think it's really, I would almost say it's geared more towards adults and parents.
Without question.
A little bit of stuff for the kids to take a look at. You know what I'm saying? Would I take my kid? Not
this one. This is probably the blackest of the three Pirates of the Caribbean movies, and I like that. That's what's so strange about this little comment that we have here. Mm-hmm. I like that it's darker.
Mm-hmm.
I like the tone of this movie much more, much better than the last Dead Man's Chest film. I like the tone of this film is a lot better.
But you think it's just confusing? Is that your negative on the movie there? That
yeah,
it's confusing?
Yeah, yeah. That it's so yippy skippy crayons marketing when it's as black as it is. Yeah, that's a problem.
Two Guys Talking Pirates 3 Review.
The storyline. This is something.
I'm glad you're bringing up stories, because I'm sick of bitching about stories this year.
We talked about this in the last review for Dead Man's Chest.
Yeah.
The storyline was it was a little tough to take.
I'll tell you what, the storyline for the second one.
And this one here, I thought, was really tough to follow. When I say follow, I'm sitting there the first hour of the movie. My wife and I are sitting there, and we both kind of leaned in toward each other a few times and said, what's going on, or
what
how does
is the
this
plot
fit into this?
Right. And this is where I ask my magic question to Brian. Mm-hmm. Tell me the plot in 10 seconds.
Yeah. You did that to me the last time and I couldn't do it.
And you couldn't do
it.
And I'm not asking for simpleton movie making. What I'm asking for is to have a straight and determined plot line, even if it's multiple plot lines, but at least have one that makes sense and is at least remotely straightforward.
Well, I think for the first half of the movie, the plot line would be saving Jack. But the problem is, as I'm sitting
and it's
there,
resurrecting Jack. See, that's the other thing, and we'll get to that. Yeah. We'll get to that soon. But
go ahead.
Basically, it's just that they're resurrecting Jack from what is the land of the dead, which is where he sees the crabs and the multiple Jacks and the rest of that stuff. I wasn't high enough to be watching this film.
Well, no,
I mean literally, because
it didn't
get me. It didn't ensnare me.
I think the whole land of the dead, the whole visual type stuff. I think the viewers of the movie are either going to really like it or they're going to absolutely hate it.
Yeah.
I didn't care for a lot of the stuff that happened as far as the storyline, that is.
Yeah.
With having to go and sail to the end of the world and save Jack. It actually took me a while to kind of figure out what the hell everybody was doing.
Yeah.
And then it was like, well, you know, they took the boat with them and then they have to die. Are they really dead? It's just one of those things where
And then they turn the ship upside down, and then they're back on the right side of the road.
Well, I kind of like the part where they turn the ship upside down and have to figure that out.
Oh, it's sweet.
And I thought that was actually kind of cool. But as far as just the overall storyline of trying to figure out, okay, how does this match up with the last movie? And I know a lot of the listeners are going to be like, huh? You guys just said that it carries over very well.
Yeah.
It does, but the storyline itself, I almost felt like I really needed to watch the second movie right before I came over to watch the third movie. And I was kind of confused.
I really don't think it would have helped.
I just thought I was kind of confused as far as the storyline as a whole. And then we get to the end of the movie, and I'm kind of sitting there not very satisfied. I was like, okay, if it wasn't for the pretty effects, if it wasn't for a lot of the visuals, would I be satisfied with this movie? And I don't think I would be.
No, I know that I wasn't. I was not satisfied when I was at the end of this movie. I knew there was a problem because few minutes of this film, and it's because I know directly my interest level depends on my left hand being on the side of my face and resting on the arm set on the left side of me.
As soon as that left hand is resting on your hand and not doing anything else.
As soon as that happens, the clock is ticking.
Right, and I can see you doing that.
Yeah,
I mean,
and it's not that I need to be instantly engaged in every single thing that I'm doing, but I have to have something that keeps me pacing. It needs to invigorate me and say, oh, that's interesting, and make me think about it. And I kept thinking to myself, the only thing I'm thinking about is, when can I go to the bathroom? And the answer is, I couldn't go to the bathroom because every time I'm like, oh, okay, well, this looks like a pretty good play, and I'd stand up and walk two steps to my left, something interesting would happen on the screen. Oh, okay, well, I'll sit back down. And two or three times of doing that and that's what I call this the ADD storyline phenomenon, because they give you just enough and you're chewing on it. Oh, that's interesting. I got to go to the bathroom. Wait, here's some more. Oh, boy, that's interesting, yeah. Boy, I got to go to the bathroom. Oh, here's some more. Sit down and enjoy it. And I hate that. I want an engaging storyline that keeps me going throughout the entire movie and then ends. And I didn't get that from this film.
So I would say that both of us would agree that the storyline is very lacking within the third one. And would you say is worse than the second movie?
Yes. The story in general, yes. That's what's so crazy about this. Just to jump into some of the different story pieces. The whole Calypso thing. What is it exactly that happens other than she becomes
big,
a giant big woman that then has crabs?
I'm glad you mentioned that also, because that was actually another point that I was going to bring up on the
negative.
And
then she opens up a whirlpool that doesn't suck anything down for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a very effective whirlpool to me.
The Calypso character, and I thought, wasn't one of my favorite characters to begin with. But the fact that you started seeing something develop a little bit more with her, you're like, okay, I wonder what's going to go, what's going to happen with her. Well, then at the end of the movie where she becomes this huge, giant Calypso character, and you're like, I wonder if she's just going to Attack the Giant Woman, literally.
Yeah. That's all it was.
And I wonder if she's going to start going on a rampage and destroying all the boats
and
smashing pirates or something. And then she turns into a bunch of crabs, and then she's gone. And then, again, you mentioned there's a big whirlpool, a big storm, lightning maybe a couple times.
That's it. She doesn't wreak any godly havoc that I can see.
Yeah,
I don't see anything.
I agree with that there.
I don't see anything there. I wasn't scared of anything inside this movie. There was nothing. I look at this movie and I go, "Oh, boy, that's really shocking and scary." There wasn't anything. There was nothing. And to give you a sample of what was in the second movie, you had the Kraken. Well, the Kraken's a big pile of fish meat in this movie. Mm-hmm. So, okay, well, and why did it die? I'm not entirely certain why it died.
Right.
And I just saw the movie yesterday. I have no idea how the Kraken died, but, oh, well, there it is in a giant mass with pirates walking all over it.
Right, right.
And I know I was paying attention because I was trying to find a place to go to the bathroom, which leads us to our next point.
Two Guys Talking Pirates 3 Review.
The length. You know, I have always been a fan of longer films, mostly because you can just simply tell more stories and more rich stories. The problem is that length needs to not lead to how many stories you can tell. And that is lost today in Hollywood, not only with this film, but also Spider-Man 3. Spider-Man 3 also suffered from what I think was, again, just there were so many different things to eat, and you'd pick a piece, and boy, that was good, but it wasn't filling. Not even close to being filling. This movie suffers from exactly the same thing. No matter how many visual effects you had, no matter how much great sound design you had, no matter how much of Jack Sparrow, Will Turner, and no matter how much Elizabeth Swann you have inside this film, it does not fill you up.
again, I mean, it's almost scary. It's kind of surprising that we have almost the identical notes on this film, because that was my next point to bring up.
Oh, really? Okay.
Was that the movie was too damn long. It was actually 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And when I got out of there...
And see, Titanic was, too.
Two hours and 45 minutes?
Well, it was almost 3 hours.
Okay.
And I was in on that. I was in like Flynn on that film. And it's not because, oh, he loves the Titanic. He didn't know it was going to sink. No, it was because it was entertaining and it engaged you no matter what level.
Well, and you mentioned, you know, liking long movies, and obviously that only works when you've got a movie that doesn't suck, that goes on for however many hours, 2.5, 3 hours or so. The only ones that really come to mind for me, especially on the DVD side of it, is Lord of the Rings, as far as the extended scenes and stuff.
Yeah,
I enjoyed watching that.
Me too.
I can't get enough Lord of the Rings as far as the extra content
same
that you
here.
Can get on
yep,
there.
Yep.
Another one that I'm just trying to think of just off the top of my head, Gladiator. It was another movie where I thought
and
the
I
extra
just bought
scenes
that. Yeah, I bought that extended one. I haven't watched it all yet. But.
Were excellent. Whereas, you know, this movie here at World's End, man, I mean, I kept kind of pulling out my cell phone just wondering, has it really been 2 hours? Three hours? I mean, time just kind of...
I got 2 hours into this film and nothing had happened in general. And I'm like, what are they going to do in the... It's like watching the 24 finale again. You know, here we go. We're watching 2 hours of stuff. Okay, well, it's 20 minutes to save the season. 18 minutes to save the season.
Right.
9 minutes to save the season. And nothing saved this movie. Nothing.
Two Guys Talking Pirates 3 Review.
The acting. Now, Mike, you brought this up as a positive point, and this is where I'm going to kind of diverge from what you were saying as far as the acting as a whole was good.
Uh-huh.
I was actually really disappointed with Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley as far as the acting chops in this movie here.
Interesting.
I thought just about everybody else was just fantastic. Obviously, it goes without saying, Jack was awesome. You know, Johnny Depp was fantastic as usual.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey Rush was great. Mm-hmm. Barbossa was a good character. Chow Yun-Fat, I thought, did a great portrayal of his character.
Yeah.
Everybody else. I mean, Keith Richards, I thought, did a good job. Those two, Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley, I kind of was one of those sore thumb things that kind of stuck out for me.
Well,
I was like, at the end of the movie, I was like, man, I was like, I wasn't really won over by the storyline.
Right.
The acting was pretty good, except for those two characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what happened. And I don't, you know, the first couple movies, I thought they did a reasonably decent job. I thought they did a pretty good job. And I'll have to go back and listen to our review of A Dead Man's Chest to find out what I thought of Kira and Orlando on those. But on this one here, I thought they came up well short. And it was almost as if they were just outmatched with a lot of the actors that were in this movie.
They are, without question, they're tag-along characters, and I think they have been since probably a quarter of the way in the last movie. I really believe that. The last movie, they were just total tag-alongs waiting to engage in whatever chase was going on with Jack in the last film. In this one, they're brought in to speak, literally.
Mm-hmm.
I really do think that they were just brought in to speak, and they needed a character that everybody was familiar with, and, oh, let's get Will Turner. Yeah, let's have Lady Swan say that. That'd be great.
Yeah, you know, as far as, you know, a couple of the points for Keira Knightley, you know, they gave her an opportunity to become a little darker in this movie here.
Yeah.
You talked about this is the darker of the three.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning, you know, where they're trying to go and save Will from the throes of Chow Yun-Fat's character down in the dungeons.
Yep.
You know, she's in there fighting and everything. And I thought that was kind of cool. At the end of the movie, an integral part of the storyline there was she is now a ship's captain.
Right.
Taking over for Chow Yun-Fat's character.
Right.
And
she's also the king of the pirates.
Yeah.
By popular vote.
Right, right. I just, whenever...
It's too much.
They
it's,
gave
it too
her
much
that. I didn't mind that part of the storyline as far as making her the captain. But I just... After I kind of saw her in that position, it wasn't very believable. I don't think she did a very good job.
That hat was not a pirate's hat, captain hat. No.
I thought the entire outfit for her was just kind of
nothing
retarded.
Nothing
I mean,
for me.
Yeah, it's just I wish for them those two characters, and they're great actors. I mean, I love those actors.
Yeah,
I would have thought they would have brought something a little bit more in this part of the movie.
Two Guys Talking Pirates 3 Review:
The Ocean of Dead. Mike, I thought this scene was actually really cool, too, when we were trying to get back to the living world or whatever, and they're sailing on the ocean, and we see all of the, I guess, what are those, the souls that have died at the ocean or in the ocean or something, and they're all just kind of floating around.
The ones that Davy Jones didn't go pick up.
Where was that it?
I don't know, is it?
That's
my point.
Okay.
That you've just illustrated, which I know is supposed to be a positive. Mm-hmm.
And you just turn around and make it a negative for you. Thanks a lot.
that you can't tell me exactly what it is bad. And that's what I'm certain a lot of people are going to think. Oh, well, they're just bashing a movie. I'm bashing the movie because I'm not completely certain of what I saw, and that's not good when I get
and
on
I
the movie.
And I think what happened on that part of the story there were those are the souls that are lost at sea for however reason or what the details are of that I don't know.
Okay.
Whether that's a negative, I don't know.
Yeah.
But to seeing those bodies kind of floating through there, and I thought that I thought it was actually kind of funny when the two pirate guys decided they were going to throw some cannonballs or something down there.
Let's throw a cannonball on them.
And I thought that was kind of funny. Okay. But then the very surreal moment of the movie there is when you actually saw then the bodies or the people that were in those small boats, the one-man
dinghy
boats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that, I can't tell you what those bodies were there for.
Those were more dead people, and one of them floats.
That didn't die at sea or something?
One of them floats obscurely close, and it just happens to be Elizabeth's father.
I didn't mind that. I liked that whole scene and everything. But I thought the whole visuals of that, I thought that the way it was written, I thought Keira Knightley actually acted very well in this portrayal here. That was one of my moments that I'll remember as far as this movie. That's one of the scenes that I'll remember.
Two Guys Talking Pirates 3 Review.
The clipping of more interesting movies. When you get to the end of this movie, by the way, if you don't want this spoiled, please stop listening now. When we get to the end of this movie, they have Will Turner, who, to save his life, they have him stab the heart of Davy Jones, hence him then becoming the, quote, undead captain of the Dutchman. Right, and so they have to tear out his heart and blah, 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 puts it in the chest, gives it to Elizabeth, Elizabeth sails off. Okay, rather, he goes back to the ship and sails into the sunset. Dude, I would much rather watch Captain Will Turner stories than anything that we saw in this film. The flavor that they provide us, the pictures, the visuals, everything else that we see as we end this movie makes me want to watch more movies like that.
With him as a darker character?
With him as the captain. The stories of Will Turner and Will Turner's father as the ship hand and whoever the hell else they recruit and get on that ship. I want to see those stories. Now, that's good. That's good. And that's probably what the intention was. The flip side is that that's the idea of movies like that are more entertaining to me than the movie that I just saw for 2 hours and 45 minutes. So that's the negative.
Two Guys Talking Pirates 3 Review.
Ryan, final thoughts on Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End.
Well, I want to say when we left the theater, we're walking out, that I was really entertained by a blockbuster movie.
Okay.
That I know from either my expectations or whatever that it was just supposed to be a fun movie. You get out, you're like, wow, I'm glad I watched that in the theater.
Right.
And for the most part, again, visually, everything visually was very pleasing.
Satisfactory,
for me.
I agree.
I was very satisfied with everything that happened on the screen as far as what hit my senses.
Yeah.
Sound, sight, all that. The only sound and sight that I didn't like was anything pertaining to the storyline, some of the bad acting.
Which
within,
drives a movie, by the way.
You would think. And I just, it was, all, again, it was just an all visual movie for me.
Yeah.
If, you know, we like to rate the movies on a scale of 1 to 4 stars being the best.
Mm-hmm.
I think on the last movie, Dead Man's Chest, I gave it 3 out of 4 stars. I think, sadly, the franchise here is going downhill.
Mm-hmm.
Best movie
I agree.
Was the very first one.
Yep.
The second movie kind of took a step back a little bit, but it was still one of those things that we recommended,
mm-hmm.
or at least I remember I recommended
yeah.
for people to go out and go see.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely one that I had picked up on DVD. This one here, I gave it 2.5 out of 4 stars. And what I would say is for pirate fans to go out and see it, because you got to see something like this on the big screen.
Right. Sure.
As far as people that are like, huh, I wonder what all this pirate thing's all about. For people that have been living under a rock or haven't seen the first two movies,
mm-hmm.
you could probably go without seeing it, because if you haven't seen anything of these before, or if you're just kind of a casual pirate fan,
you would be lost.
I think
in this
you
film.
Would be lost, and yeah. I don't think you would actually enjoy this movie. Would I buy this on DVD? I probably would, just to kind of complete my collection so far.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, it's one of those things that you want to showcase, you know, for you on your high def TV
mm-hmm.
with all the stuff that you've got here,
yeah.
the surround sound.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things you want to have the complete collection that you have.
Yeah.
Where it's going to get kind of rocky is when the next movie comes out. If it's anywhere as bad as this one is,
mm-hmm.
am I going to want to go ahead and watch that? I mean, it's going to be one of those things where it's going to be kind of tough to decide, do I want to go out to the theater and watch it?
Mm-hmm.
So take it for what it's worth, 2.5 out of 4 stars from me.
Yeah, for me, sadly, I see this franchise ending as we know it. I don't see a Pirates 4 in general in the future. And it's not because of the articles I've read about either Johnny Depp not coming back or Orlando Bloom realizing that there are greener pastures or he's got some other deal. It's because it's done. They've explored just about every single realm, including the ones you haven't even thought of. and they've been there, done that, and I really do think it's concluded.
But do you think that, you know, even if it's guaranteed to make over $300 million, that they would just stop it? Do you think that they would stop based off of creativity as far as not wanting to sell themselves out? Although I don't know if a movie has been the top grossing film of all time or whatever, you can't accuse it of selling out. But it's one of those things to where if you know people are going to come see it,
right,
they're going to make another movie. Just like with Shrek 3, there's going to be a Shrek 4, which is with the same with Spider-Man.
It's one of those things where things need to be retired when they're going out on top, and they need to get out at this point. They need to stop doing it, and I realize it's making ridiculous amounts of money box office wise, but the story has stopped. I mean, there's nothing about the story in this film that I find remotely interesting except the last 8 minutes of the film, which alludes to something we haven't even seen. Would I go and see the Captain Will Turner stars? Yeah, I would go and see that. But it would not be Pirates of the Caribbean 4, where they start Will Turner stories. They'd start whatever the hell those are going to be called. Those I would go and see. For the previous film, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, I gave that 2 gold doubloons. This one, sadly, is going to get 1 gold doubloon. I thought we could pull it out with the visual effects and the... It's one of those ones where I got out and I'm like, okay, well, I can buy it on DVD and watch the special feat. Well, no, I'm not even going to do that. Because I'm done with the Pirates franchise, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I just, it's done for me.
It doesn't even make the DVD collection for you?
I don't think so. If I got it for Christmas or something, I think so. But if there was a regular edition and then the, you know, 2-disc Gaga edition, I wouldn't buy either of them. I'd want to get one as a gift.
So as a man that has seen both Spider-Man and Pirates and you had to make a decision which one, we did this last year with Superman and Pirates. We both said we would go see Pirates.
Yeah.
You've seen both movies. Which one would you recommend?
Spider-Man 3, without a question. Because while that one does have some meandering story and some real super picky geek moments that they didn't complete on the screen, that one is a much more fulfilling film, and it stands alone. That you could go watch Spider-Man 3 and go, oh, yeah. When you go to Pirates, you'd be lost. You would be lost if you had not seen either of the previous two Pirates films. And so, we come to the end of yet another Two Guys Talking feature film review. I'm Mike Wilkerson, one of your hosts.
And I am Brian Sumatras, the other host.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Two Guys Talking Show. We hope you'll tell your friends and coworkers about us, and don't forget to put us on your podcast list. As always, you can visit and contact us online at twoguystalking.com. That's the number 2, guystalking.com. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.